Welcome to Our Story, the podcast. Every month, Pastor Mark from Harmony Toluca Lake sits down with a guest to discuss their journey of faith from an inclusive, affirming point of view. These personal stories are part of a colorful tapestry of individual life experiences that transcend the boundaries of church by connecting us all together, collectively, through faith, hope, and love. This is Our Story.
Hey everyone, Pastor Mark here with Harmony Toluca Lake, and this is the second campus of Hollywood United Methodist Church. And today is an Our Story, the podcast episode in which we talk about our faith journey. And I'm in conversation with individuals as we all tie in the fabric of our lives that integrates together. And so today's conversation is with the fabulous Juan Carrillo. And so, you know, Juan, it's just always a joy. He is one of Harmony's folks that come on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Nothing but fun out of Juan. There is no serious church to happen around him, but it's always glorious because we should laugh at church, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not a believer that you need to come in somber and quiet and feel repressed. I mean, God is supposed to be glorious. So why wouldn't you come in smiling and laughing and dancing, you know, and letting him know that, you know what, thank you for another day.
Right. Well, I mean, God does have a sense of humor, yes.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. Created a giraffe. I mean, come on.
He created a chihuahua. What are you talking about?
Well, so here we're going to be in conversation. And so here's just a quick question, because you love Friday game nights, yes?
Yeah, that was fun.
So what game is one of your favorites that you like to play?
Oh, Clue.
Now, why Clue?
Oh, I love those kind of things. Like those little, mysteries. Like one of my favorite things to do is read mystery cozies. But I like mysteries with a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. You know, so because I like the story and I like the journey, but I also want a little, you know, like check, check, wink, wink by the end of it. And it wraps up.
Well, it's sort of like our life as Christians, right? Yeah. We have some humor, but we also have a journey. We have a story. Yeah. We have the Bible. So, all right. So let's go back in time. Mm-hmm. And just a few years for you. Mm-hmm. And I want to think back with your childhood upbringing with church. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like for you?
Repressive. Very repressive.
How so?
Well, I grew up Catholic. And so there are all these rules that I was told that you need to abide by, but no one ever explained to me why. You couldn't ask that question. You couldn't ask why. It always would, because the answer would always be, well, because I said so.
Now, at what age was this?
10 10 to 13.
But did you go to church before 10 to 13?
Yeah, but we were what you would call weekend Catholics.
Okay.
So it's like you would go Saturday and Sunday, maybe twice a month, then once a month. Then all of a sudden when my dad would get, you know, he would say, we have to go every weekend. And it's like, then we would go every weekend for maybe about a month. Mm-hmm. And then it would just trickle down.
But right around the age of 13 is when things became more stringent.
It felt like, well, I did my first communion and I did my catechism. Mm-hmm. And once I started doing, I believe the catechism was first. Once you started doing that, it became a little more stringent in church. And then when you would go, you know, it's a lot of up and then down, and then, you know, the priest is speaking, and I honestly never knew half of what the hell they were talking about. No offense, but I never knew what they were talking about. And for some reason, I still have a memory of a Filipino priest who was preaching. And the only thing I remember from the whole thing is him talking about a fish. And I have no memory of anything else.
So did you talk about sermons or church with your family members?
Nope.
Or did your family members follow with the strict rules of the Catholic Church?
Nope.
As a teenager? No?
Nope.
So you just felt rigidity with exuding through the church?
Oh, yeah. Because those were rules that you were expected to follow. And the other thing that struck me as very odd, which I never understood and I still don't, how you go to church on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, you can sin all you want. And then when you go and talk to the priest on Sunday, he absolves you of all this and you've got a clean slate, like an Etch-a-Sketch. Mm-hmm. I never got that. I never understood how that works. You know, someone is just saying, okay, you're fine. You're done. Go say this. You're great. I'm like, so there were all kinds of things that would go on that I just didn't understand. Like when I did my first confession, we were led into the room. The priest was on the other side and there was a chair and the window was open. And then there was a little spot to kneel. And you were told either you can sit in the chair and talk directly to the priest, or you knelt and he didn't see you. And the spot was about this big. Mm. I'm like, I knelt. I'm like, I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to speak to him directly. But at the same time, I knew other people did the same thing. Unfortunately, I didn't know what to confess. So I made stuff up, you know, like I disobeyed my parents. I used the Lord's name in vain. I like came up with a few things because I thought if I didn't, I was going to get in trouble. And that was very much in my mind, is I thought I was going to get in trouble. And so I did all that. And then I was told to go say, you know, a number of Hail Marys and Our Fathers and you're fine. I'm like, okay, you know, because also the other thing too was I not only was afraid of getting in trouble with him, I didn't want to get in trouble with my dad if he was told that I misbehaved, because that wasn't going to go over well, you know. So,
did you see your family members following the church direction?
No.
So you were sort of getting mixed messages.
Yes.
You identify as being gay, mm-hmm. yes? And so with that, at what age?
I started questioning things when I was 11, 12. Okay. I thought boys were very interesting, but I knew that that wouldn't go over well. So I kind of made myself, you know, flirt with girls and be attracted to girls. But it was also very difficult to do that because I've always had this kind of personality. So I'm a little out there. And what was really funny is not everyone gets it. And especially if you can imagine being a teenager, you know, in the 80s, people definitely didn't get it, you know? But it was just, it was like a bunch of mixed signals. And if I would try to go out with a girl, when I would come home, the first thing my father would say was, did you do her? And here I am questioning everything and then going no and feeling like I disappointed him and just frustrated to no end. And I didn't know what to do. You know, because I knew I couldn't act on any of this.
Well, and also you got the church saying don't and your dad saying do.
Yeah.
And
every single thing that the church said when it came to somebody who was gay, oh, it's a sin. It's this. You're going to go to hell. You know, you're going to hell for this. You're going to hell for these feelings. You're going to hell for thinking like this. And it just, so everything was just condemnation. Nothing made you feel that you were worthy of anything. So you walked into the church, you were already a sinner. Right off the bat.
And condemned.
You know what I mean? You go into your house and already, you know, you're growing up Latin and Catholic with an Italian mother. It's like, wasn't conducive, you know, to being fabulous at that time.
Yes. So your fabulousness, you'd have to sort of shut off. At least that part of you.
Well, here was the thing. I got involved. I got involved with yearbook, student council, and theater. So then I had a little bit of an excuse. for a little more fabulousness because of the theater, you know.
But not in the church.
Not in the church, but in my regular day of life.
Okay.
But honestly, church kind of fell off the radar for me about 15, 16, because I had my license, I had a job, I worked weekends, so it stopped being a thing, you know. And I mean, my grandparents still went, and I think my sisters may have on and off, but at that point I stopped because I was always working, or I was like, when it came to school and stuff, I was at school from probably about 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. working on something, or I was at work. And then I would be home that night after 10, and then have to do homework and all that, and then start the day over.
But even if it hadn't been for school and work, would you have really wanted to go to church?
No, absolutely not.
Right. So the reason is because of condemnation?
And it was just an unfriendly place, you know? I mean, you've seen the way I am when I come in here, and I've got friends and you know, talk and the hug and the whole thing. I could never do that at my old church. I didn't know anybody.
So you stopped basically going to church at 15, 16. How did you view Jesus at that time?
This was the thing. I did still believe in a higher power. I just lost my belief in church. So I still believed in God, and I still felt God was there. But the idea of going to this building, and that's how I saw it. I saw it as a building. Did not appeal to me.
Did you see God or Jesus in any way being judgmental?
That was the thing. No, I didn't. You know, I'm a firm believer in, I don't agree with the whole concept of original sin. I don't see how a baby can be born with sin. This is a brand new soul, a brand new person. So you're telling me that they're coming in with sin. That's the most asinine thing I think I've ever heard. But that's what the Catholic Church says, you know? And the thing is, everything always seemed very much, you're going to get in trouble for this. 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 Nothing ever seemed joyous. At least in my view, nothing ever seemed joyous.
Well, it seems almost a direct hit against Jesus, because where's the joy in Jesus if you don't see the joy in church?
No, I mean, they had that big crucifix. They had the big crucifix in the church where Jesus is on there, and he's nailed up there, and he's got, you know, that really sullen face and the blood and you know, the abs. It just was very weird. It's just a very weird image.
So you stopped going to church. You have started living your life. What brought you back to church?
In 2017, I had a breakdown. I was working retail for about 30 years, and I hit this point where I just broke. Like, I had let everything get to me. Health issues, family issues, issues that Gary and I were having. I had gotten to the point where I wasn't telling him all the stress and stuff I was going through at work.
And Gary is your ex,
Gary is my ex, yeah. Okay. And I wasn't telling him what I was going through at work. I wasn't telling my best friend. I wasn't telling anyone. I hadn't been talking to my sisters, really. And so when it all hit, I just broke. And I remember the day, because I have HIV. And so I worked constantly to make sure I had my insurance. And that was one of the only reasons I stayed at this job. I worked at Michael's for 30 years. I mean, I worked in retail for 30 years. I worked at Michael's for 13. But the amount of stress and the amount of nonsense that this particular corporation put on me, I was to the point where I had been on an action plan because they didn't like my sales and they were going to take me off of that and put me on another one. And for some reason, when that happened, I broke because I was just like, I don't understand. And then when my then boss told me, well, you could go to part-time. I'm like, what's going to happen to my insurance? What's going to happen to me? Oh my God. And then that was it. And I took a leave of absence and I basically fell into a deep depression for almost 6 years. And I came looking for a church because I wanted to find something.
And in what year was that?
2019, wasn't it? 2019?
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah. And I came looking and because I was so lost. I just didn't know what to do. I'm like, Gary was on a trip. I was by myself for the first time. I didn't, all these people who I thought were friends kind of fell off after I stopped working. It just, and my mom passed in 2005, and so I didn't have her. And so I just needed something, and something told me to try church again. And I remember finding this place because I remember the church in Hollywood. And when I looked it up, I saw that there was one in Toluca Lake. So then I looked up Harmony and I'm like, oh, well, this isn't that far from me. So I made the arrangements and I drove down here. And I still remember when I walked in, everyone was so kind. And I remember Loretta.
Yeah.
Loretta gave me the biggest hug and I almost started crying then, but I didn't. And you came up and we talked a little bit and then I sat for the, I think I sat for the service and then afterward we talked some more and then I cried and I told you I was looking for a church and I, you know, and I think I signed, you know, filled out the new member thing or what have you. And then I remember
the visitor form. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And then I remember going home and I didn't really think anything of it. And that was Sunday. And I want to say Wednesday or Thursday, your card came. And I was like, okay. And I opened it and it was such a sweet card from you that basically said, it was so nice to see you and it was so nice to meet you. And I really do hope you come back. And I think there were a couple of other things. And I remember just tearing up. And I told Gary, I said, I've never had anyone do something like this. And I came back. And I came back.
I was just saying, you haven't stopped.
I haven't. In fact, when we were doing the homeless ministry out of the Hollywood campus, I was there. Yeah. Up until COVID shut it down.
Right.
When we were doing the online stuff, I was, you know, I was watching online. But it was just, you know, there's some, and then I tried to get Gary to come. And I think I got him to come a few times, but I don't, for whatever reason, for whatever demon he's dealing, I don't know, he stopped coming. And there was nothing I could do about that. And then everything happened and I and you and I talked. And then we started rebuilding, you know. And to be really honest, I feel more centered and happier than I think I've ever been. And a lot of, I will put a good amount of it is good medication.
Right.
Good therapy. A good psychiatrist and a good support system now. And I'm lucky enough to be involved with a wonderful man who knows everything, is very supportive. It's very different. He's very supportive. He's very caring. He doesn't dictate. He asks. You know, and then if I'm, he understands when I'm having a bad moment. Like when I need a little quiet or when I need to just be by myself for a few minutes, because he can see that I'm getting antsy. And when I start getting antsy, then it's a progressive, you know? And so he recognizes the signs now.
Yeah. Well, this ties in well with our short stories conversation, in which we talked about our overall health and well-being, mm-hmm. and specifically asking for help.
Yes.
Which is so important. And I thought you spoke very well in telling our listeners, hey, listen to the short story segment about, you know, our health and well-being, which Juan and I had a conversation with. Well, it's interesting because you found a faith community home.
Yes.
And you have not held back. You are just all in, which is great.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I once posted, and here's the funny thing. I once posted an Instagram photo of myself, and I think I was all, I don't remember. I was wearing one of my crazy outfits, and I wrote, having a great day at church, it's fun, blah, 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 something like that. And somebody else posted on it, church isn't about fun, it's about God and blah, blah, blah. And I said, why can't it be both? Mm-hmm. Why can't I come to church and smile and have fun and take my partner and dance in the back and at the same time be really moved by the sermon and want to help others and do all that? Why can't that all go together? You know, it doesn't have to be one or the other.
No, God wants us to have joy in our lives.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
If you're on this planet and you're not at least finding one or two things to smile about a day, then something is wrong. Something needs to change. Because yes, there is so much negativity and sadness in the world. There is. But you know what? If you make one person smile, if you make one kid laugh, mm-hmm. If you have nothing more than a cup of coffee and you drink that and you just feel nice and cozy, it's okay. Just take that, run with it. But not everything has to be doom and gloom. Not everything is the glass half empty. And I'm saying that as a person who used to see the glass as half empty. Mm-hmm. I no longer see it like that.
Yeah.
You amen. Know? And that was a choice I had to come to. Mm-hmm. That I'm done. I'm done. It's just like I hit 52 this year. So like after Gary left and I started kind of getting to learn myself, I started changing my outfits. I started changing what I was doing. I started doing stuff that I wouldn't have done before mm-hmm. because he wouldn't have liked it.
Yeah.
Or he would have had, you know, I would have gotten a look.
So you're living more into your authentic self.
Yeah, like I'm having a blast,
right.
You know.
And it shows. I mean, come on, you gave me this wonderful hat. I got my bedazzled hat and it says, Pastor Warning, anything you say or do could be used in a sermon. Great to wear to warn everyone, but yes. I love my bedazzled hat.
Yes. Well, because I decided to study and I studied to become an alcohol and substance abuse counselor. Mm-hmm. The problem I'm having right now is I cannot find an internship. So instead of just sitting and being sad or whatever, I'm starting a hat business and I'm starting to design the hats and stuff. And I'm kind of going off instinct mm-hmm. on what I want to do. Yeah. Like I just did one for suicide prevention mm-hmm. and then I'm in the pike is one for Project Angel Food. Mm. And right now I'm working on some for future President Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris. You know, so, and I'm working on some of those and I'm very excited about it. And I've talked to some people about it who they're like, I want to see this because I go all out.
Oh, so. Yes, you do. Well, that's the thing that's the reason why we changed church up around here, because it's like, oh my gosh, you serve brunch during worship service?
Oh yeah, that's a blast.
Yes.
That is so funny though. When you see everyone hopped up on food and sugar and they're like, yeah, you know, it's very enjoyable to watch.
Yes.
That's the whole thing.
Well, part of your service, because you believe in service for mm-hmm. others, is you help me in cooking brunch yeah. on those Sundays and we have a good time.
Yeah. I mean, I started doing more volunteer work when I was doing the homeless thing. I was so intrigued because all the preconceived notions I had about the homeless population went right out the window, because the people I were meeting were not what I thought they would be. They weren't people who were on the street because of alcohol and drugs and the whole thing. Don't get me wrong, there were some of those, but there were people who, I still remember, there was one young man who came out here from the Midwest and was trying to make a new life for himself. And I remember specifically him trying to find a pair of shoes because he had a job interview. And that is all he wanted, was a pair of shoes. And we found those shoes, you know, and I believe he got the interview. And there were other people who just had health issues and things were real tight. Some people who had animals and they couldn't, you know, they didn't want to give up the animals, so they would come get food from us. I mean, there were different stories. If you took the time to talk to this population, you learned a lot more than what you were expecting, you know? And I learned also a lot about a lot of the transgender population too, because we had a lot coming in, and it was eye-opening, because nothing was what you thought it was if you just only pay attention to the news. You needed to talk to people, you needed to get to know them, you needed to make it personal.
So isn't that what Jesus tells us to do, to be in connection, to be in relationship with one another?
Exactly.
I mean, that's the thing, is it's easy to make a judgment or an assumption about the other until you sit at the table with the other, or you're in direct contact with the other and listening to their story, as well as engaging in conversation and being open-minded, to suddenly realize, oh, I need to shed all that away so I can actually see what the truth is.
One of the things that I think that we as a society need to get over is, it's not a trauma competition.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That is the truth.
Like, I don't need to tell you my trauma, and then have you go, oh, really? Well, this happened. I'm like, it's not a competition, dude. I'm like, we both have our traumas. That's great. I don't need to know that yours, you know, you don't need to let me know that yours is infinitely worse in your comparison, because my journey is my journey, your journey is your journey, you know? And I think we as a society need to get over that. And we need to take the time to practice listening to one another, because I think that that's the other thing we don't do. We do a lot of talking, a lot, but I think we do very little listening.
And that's part of the journey. Part of the journey is to listen. Because if we're doing all the talking, what kind of relationship is that?
Exactly.
So is there anything that you would want to share or say to someone looking for a faith community, or wanting to feel like, you know what, is God love? Won't God judge me? Am I not going to burn when I come through the church doors? Is there anything that you might be able to share with an individual who feels that?
You know, I make a joke out of that. Jose and I make a joke out of that. If we go into, you know, his son is still Catholic, and so him and his ex keep him Catholic, and so Jose will take him on occasion when he has him to church. And it's very funny. He once told me, he looked at me and goes, I'm going to burn. I'm going to burn when I walk in there. And I said, you might singe a little, but you'll be fine. You know, it's in my opinion, God loves you. He doesn't, he, she, whatever you believe, does not believe that they created a mistake. So however you feel that you want to express yourself, to be, to portray, whatever, God's okay with it. As long as you're happy, and as long as you're making a difference in some way, shape, or form, and it doesn't have to be big. It can be as little as you walked out of a store and you saw somebody who was sitting there hungry and you went back in and got them a sandwich and a bottle of water. You can do that. You don't need to tell anybody if you don't want to, but you can do that and know that you did a little part. You know, on a hot day, if you see somebody like a mom who's walking her kids and you have an extra bottle of water and you give it to her and stuff. I mean, the thing is, we always forget that it doesn't take millions and millions of dollars for you to make a difference in someone's life. You could just make the difference. Just do it, you know, and trust me, it's like once you do it, God knows. He already knows. He knows what you did.
Yeah.
You know, and if you need to have a conversation with him and talk to him about it, okay, do that. But you know what? That's between you and him. The one thing I found very interesting because, you know, I'm a little long in the tooth. So I remember when they were passing their gay marriage. A lot of people, I was in a conversation with a minister, you know, saying we need to pass this, blah, 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 the whole thing. And he's like, I think you should, you know, he goes, I think you should calm down a little bit. I think you should, you know, not talk about that so much. And he was African-American. And I asked him, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, would you say the same thing if they were talking about Black people? Would you say the same thing if it was a civil rights issue? Or are you just saying because you don't agree? We stopped talking after that because he didn't have an answer. You know, my whole thing is God does not care what you do in the bedroom, because if he did, there'd be many cisgender people who would have a lot of explaining to do. You know what I mean?
Yes, there would.
Okay. So that's not what God is concerned with. And all these people who concern themselves with what someone does in the bedroom, get your own bedroom. Figure out what you want to do in it. Leave us alone. You know, but the thing is, it's like, as long as you're on good terms with yourself and with God, you're good.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I want to bring us back as we come to a close now. It's important that grandiose actions are all fine and dandy. Those are very important. But being humble and having humility is also important. Not to be shining the light upon yourself. It's more like shine the light on others, taking care of others. But the small acts, I truly believe, Juan, that the small acts are the ones that have the greatest impact, because you don't know what's going to be the ripple effect. And so I see that in the way that you live your life. And the way you are of service here with the church community. And so let us continue to do the small acts as well as the big acts, but let us do it together. Amen?
Oh, amen.
All right.
On that.
So I just want to thank you again for joining me for this Our Story conversation, and to thank our audience, you, the listening audience, for joining us. It's been a pleasure for Juan Carrillo to be part of this conversation, and we look forward to connecting with you again for a future Our Story conversation. But in the meantime, like, share, download this episode, and we want you to have a great day and a great week. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Our Story, the podcast, with your host, Pastor Mark Stevenson. This month's guest was Juan Carrillo, and this episode was recorded and mixed by me, Donna Miller. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to Our Story, the podcast, so you never miss a new episode. You're listening to the Harmony Podcast Network, sponsored in part by Hollywood United Methodist Church, of which Harmony Toluca Lake is the second campus. Find us on Instagram at Harmony_TLC and on Facebook at HarmonyTL. We'll see you next month for another exciting conversation. Until then, as Pastor Mark likes to say, peace.